Interview Media Servisa.
I'm Andrea Barac and our guest is Minister of Foreign Affairs and Trade of Hungary, Mr. Peter Szijjártó. Welcome.
Good evening. Thank you for the opportunity.
Let's start with today's meeting, our Prime Ministers, Plenković and Orban. Last official Orban's visit was 7 years ago. Are you satisfied with today's meeting? Or was it an opportunity for remove splinters from under the nail, like Orban said?
Mm-hmm. Look, we are happy that this meeting finally took place. We are absolutely unsatisfied with the state of play of our relations. We are neighboring countries to each other. We should be natural allies. That is determined by history. But for some reason, our relationship is much less developed as it could be and as it should be. So if prime ministers of neighboring countries do not pay official visits to the countries of each other 6, vice versa 7 years ago, that's pretty much telling. And that's why today's meeting was very important to break the ice in this regard. Everybody knows what is the elephant in the room. Everybody knows that our relationship regarding trade, regarding investments, regarding the minorities, regarding people-to-people contacts are fine. But this energy issue, let's call it this way, in a simplified way, of course, is somehow acts as a shadow on the whole relationship. And regardless of possible forward progresses on some issues, on some areas of cooperation, this shadow puts a bad feeling generally on the relationship. So,
were you also unhappy like Orban because of this situation?
Sorry?
Were you also unhappy like Orban said about this situation?
We are unhappy with the situation because this relationship could bring much more benefits to both of the countries if this issue was not there. I mean, imagine, we have a trade volume of around 2.1 billion euros annually. Last year there was an increase of 19%. Our people-to-people contacts are fine. If it was not the case, then Hungarian tourists wouldn't come to this country in such a huge volume. Until September, we had 575,000 Hungarians visiting Croatia, which is more than the entire year of 2017. Hungarian people spent more than 3 million nights in Croatia until the end of September, which is already more compared to the entire year of 2017. Our minorities are satisfied with their situations. We had the representatives of the Croatians living in Hungary in our delegation. Your prime minister had the representative of the Hungarians living in Croatia in his delegation. This is much more than telling. It ensures us that the situation of the minorities is absolutely satisfactory. That was underlined by the two gentlemen during the plenary meeting today. So when it comes to investments, OTP Bank, the number one Hungarian bank, is now becoming the fourth strongest player of your banking market. So these things look good, but I mean,
what about bad things?
But you know, regarding energy, we could have a much quicker and much more efficient forward progress. If there was more, let's say, readiness or mutual understanding in this regard. You know, Hungary is pretty much dependent on gas imported from Russia, and we are looking for certain opportunities to diversify our sources and routes of...
Okay, when you mentioned the gas, Orban said today that the main reason why we should cooperate Croatia and Hungary is the price of the gas. And if we build this LNG terminal in Kirk, which price would be for you acceptable to cooperate with us?
Look, if we take a look at the current price, which was determined by the open season procedure regarding the hopefully established LNG port on the island of Krk, then that price is 20% higher compared to the price of gas we are buying the Russian pipeline gas currently. And 20% is too much. So when we speak about need for diversification, we think about various scenarios. So, for example, American and Austrian companies are planning to exploit gas from the offshore gas fields on the Romanian territory of the Black Sea. We are negotiating with Slovenia about building an interconnector between the two countries, Hungary and Slovenia, through which LNG ports in Italy would be approachable. We have a pipeline connecting us to Slovakia, through which certain northern gas sources are accessible as well. So for us, this is an issue of diversification, and this is a matter of price. So we hope that we will find a satisfactory solution sometimes. Your Prime Minister has authorized your Minister of Environmental Protection and Energy, Mr. Tomislav Ćorić, and I am authorized by my Prime Minister to carry on these negotiations. And I really do hope that we will find some solution. But price matters. So you have to understand that when you spend the taxpayers' money on supplying your country's energy demand, you have to take care about the price, pretty much.
Hungary has a withdrawal blockade for Croatian approach to OECD. Why you made that decision?
Look, we are interested in having good relationship with all the neighboring countries. We understand that the better relationship we do have the neighbors, the stronger we are, and the better the situation of ours is. And our interest is our neighbors to be successful as well, because the more successful our neighbors are, the more successful we are. And we understood that your endeavors towards OECD is very strong. For us, your economic success is an interest. And that's why we decided in favor of supporting your approach towards OECD, as we have made a similar kind of decision regarding Romania as well.
Your media reported that Hungary was really unsatisfied with our government's stance towards MOL and Zsolt Hernadi. What's your point of view of this situation? Were you angry maybe in one point when Zsolt Hernadi returned an Interpol's red arrest warrant?
Well, we consider this as a legal issue, and we never interfere into legal issues. I think in order to be able to rebuild a good relationship, we have to separate very sharply political issues from legal issues. So the jurisdiction has to make its own job without any kind of influence or interference by any government. On the other hand, when it comes to the issue regarding MOL and INA, we consider it as a corporate issue from our side, as a company issue. So
do you agree with Prime Minister Orban that Croatia should redeem INA shares from MOL? And that it's possible in...
I generally agree with him, of course, and in this concrete issue, I absolutely agree, definitely. I mean, he represents the position of the government. So we have to understand that this MOL-INA relationship did not work out or has not been working out until now very well.
So we should separate.
And, I mean, if it turns out, and now it seems to me that it has already turned out, that there's no way of successful cooperation between these two companies, which happens. I mean, that can happen. That can be considered as a usual phenomenon in international business life. So when such things happen, it's much better to divorce. And in this regard, we as a government, as a Hungarian government, are not part of the debate, because this debate is going on between basically the Croatian government and the Hungarian company called MOL. And we keep it on a corporate level. So I think it's much better for everyone.
Let's continue now with Summit of Central European Initiative. What do you expect from from this summit and tomorrow's plenary session? And which subjects will be in focus of Hungary?
Well, regarding Central European Initiative, we think it's a very important instrument to promote enlargement of the European Union. Because both Croatia and Hungary are very sensitive on the issues happening in the so-called Western Balkans region, so the southern part of Central Europe, let's put it this way. And we both, Croatians and Hungarians, understand very well the importance and impact of Western Balkans on Europe. And we both understand very well the difference between a secure situation and calm situation in the Western Balkans and whatever is to the contrary. And we both understand very well that integration of this part of the continent to the European Union is vital when it comes to economy and when it comes to security, both. And unfortunately, we have to understand that in the western part of Europe, there is not such kind of sensitivity, there is not such kind of understanding. And we, as Central Europeans, have to push for the enlargement procedure to be accelerated, because this is our interest. So we rather use CEI as an instrument to promote enlargement of the European Union.
What about migration crisis?
Well, look, migration crisis is definitely the most serious challenge European Union had to face ever since her foundation. And we, again, living here in this neighborhood, we understand it very well, because we remember when 400,000 illegal migrants marched through the territory of Hungary, violating our border, disrespecting our culture, our rules, our regulations, our way of life, threatening people, behaving in a very undisciplined way, attacking our police. And we don't want to see these events to be repeated in Hungary once again. We see the pictures on the television. We hear the news in the radio about the situation at the Bosnia-Herzegovina-Croatia border. We really pay respect to you for protecting your external border. We think this is the crucial issue. So if Europe is not able to regain the ability to control its borders, then Europe will be under enormous security threat in the future. So that's why we are happy to cooperate with all countries on the Western Balkans, be them EU or non-EU members, to help them to protect their external borders, because this is the key. This is the key. For example, Hungary, we consider it as a matter of sovereignty, that it is only us to make a decision whom we allow to enter the territory of the country and whom we do not allow to enter the territory of the country. We want to maintain our right to make the decision with whom we would like to live together on our own, not to be influenced by others, and the decision shouldn't be made by anyone else, just us.
How you reacted when EU Parliament voted for sanctions for Hungary because they explained that you violated EU values?
You know, that report was basically a matter of revenge on behalf of the European Parliament, a revenge on our migratory policy, since we have proved that the basic principles of the EU migratory policies were based on lies. Brussels said that it's impossible to stop migration. We have proved that, yes, it is possible to stop it. Brussels said that migration is by definition good. I think time has proven that migration is extremely dangerous when it comes to terrorism, when it comes to parallel societies, you know. And there's a revenge against us. This is number one. Number two, you know, this report is basically a collection of lies, qualified lies. 69 allegations have been put in this report against Hungary, out of which 13 has already been sorted out between the European Commission and the Hungarian government back in 2011 and 12. There are 19 issues about which discussion has been ongoing between the Commission and the Hungarian government, as it is the normal way. And you know, there are 37 perceptions, lies, we know very well about my country, like lack of freedom of media, which is a lie, lack of freedom of speech, which is a lie. Even it says that anti-Semitism on the rise and the Federation of the Jewish Organizations has launched a letter saying that is not true. So, you know, we have to understand that if you go against the mainstream in the European Union, if you go against the mainstream in order to preserve or maintain security of your own citizens, then you will be attacked.
Okay, you mentioned the problems with illegal migrations. And can you tell me what do you find problematic in Global Compact of Regular Migrations of UN? Because our government is supporting that.
Yeah, I know. You know, I was the only foreign minister, only one, to take part on all four intergovernmental meetings in New York preparing the Global Compact on Migration. No one else. All other countries have been represented by the permanent representative in New York, or even some other diplomats working on the New York embassies, you know. So I was the only one. So I read all the versions of the text from the very beginning to the very end. And I have to tell you that this global compact will repeat exactly the similar kind of mistake what European Union has committed with its migratory policy. Because this global compact on migration portrays migration as a fundamental human right, which is not true, which is a lie. This Global Compact on Migration portrays migration in a very, very unbalanced and biased way, saying that this is basically the best thing that could happen to humanity, and says nothing nothing about these security risks. It says nothing about the right of the people to have a safe and secure life in their homes. You know, so it encourages further migratory flaws, as it says that there should be training carried out for those ones who want to leave their homes. It says that we should carry out campaigns why migration is positive. It says that all migrants should be provided with a similar kind of services through the whole migration cycle, just like local citizens. It says that data's gained during social service to these people must not be shared with the immigration authorities. This Global Compact on Migration says that there should be no legal differentiation between migrants, legal, illegal. So this is terrible from European perspective. And you know, as time goes by, you see more and more countries come to a decision to go against. I think it's in parallel with more and more people reading it. And you know, we said it from the very beginning that this is a dangerous, this is a really dangerous document. And the impact of that will be even bigger than the impact of the false and failed migratory policy of the EU, because this is a global thing.
What about if something happens to Hungary and your people wants to migrate somewhere in future? And if some other country has the same point of view like yours, it will be a problem for you?
What kind of scenario you mean?
Okay, hypothetically, something happens, war, for example, and your people wants to migrate somewhere else.
Okay, I would rather avoid speaking about such kind of scenarios, which hopefully will never happen.
Yeah, of course.
But what I can tell you is the following, because I understand, I think, the principle of your question. So our policy is that we have to make sure that everybody who has to flee or escape from his or her home because of war, for example, should be treated in a proper way in the place which is the nearest to his or her home. So that's why we are pushing for more European Union support for Lebanon, Jordan, Iraq, even Turkey, because these countries are located around the war-torn areas. These countries have been taken care of refugees, of people who had to escape from their homes. And we think that we have to make sure that these people who have to escape should be helped to be stay as close to their homes as it is just possible. So when the conflicts because of which they had to escape are over, they can return. But we do not agree and accept with any kind of policies which help people to cross 6, 7, 8 peaceful countries, violating those borders, the borders of those, just because, you know, having the intention to get to Germany, for example. So when, for example, people from Serbia arrived to Hungary during 2015, or from Croatia, then we raise the question, what is the reason for anyone to violate a border between Serbia and Hungary or Croatia and Hungary? So is there a war in Croatia? Thanks God, no. Is there a war in Serbia? Thanks God, no. Is anyone's life in danger in either of these countries? Thanks God, no. So then the question is why it should be allowed for them to cross borders between two peaceful countries in an illegal way. So that's why we have a program called Hungary Helps. With this program, we bring help to the communities to be able to stay as close to their homes or to stay at home and to get stronger, you know. So we assist Christian communities in the Middle East to be able to stay at home. Why? Because their leaders come to us and ask us not to encourage their people to leave the homes of them, because with this we basically help the terrorist organizations who have goals to eliminate, you know, these communities. So instead of encouraging them to leave their homes, let's help them to be able to stay at home. This is our policy. So don't bring problem where there are no problems, and bring help where it is needed. That's the basic principle.
Okay, we should finish soon. So can you tell me now, Visegrad 4, V4 Corporation, what is the present status and future of V4?
Well, I can tell you that this is now the tightest and the most effective alliance within the European Union, with a very deep, let's say, historic basis. So this is a cooperation which is not institutionalized, and maybe the effectiveness is the outcome or the consequence of this, that everybody knows, all four countries know, that if we say something in a univocal way, then it's much louder and much stronger compared if we did speak, you know, four of us one by one. So in this regard, I can tell you that it's a very strong, it has never been as strong as it is currently. And migration was definitely an issue where we worked together very closely. And now economic cooperation is picking up. We are working closely together regarding the next multi-annual financial framework. And we are very happy for external cooperation. So we have these formats like Visegrad 4 Plus. And in this format, we work together with Croatia as well.
And so-called 3C initiative, what is the current position of Hungary?
Well, you know, we are supportive to the initiative. But we think it would be very important to have some direct outcome, some concrete outcome of this cooperation. And I think infrastructural developments would be key here, as our region is very poor on north to south infrastructure because of historic reasons. Here, pipelines, electricity grids, highways, railroads, they usually run from east to west because this is the outcome of history. So I think if 3C's initiative can boost or accelerate north to south infrastructural developments, that would be great. That would be great, and we are supportive to that.
Mr. Sziarto, thank you for this conversation.
I appreciate the opportunity. Thank you.
Interview Media Servisa.